The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
New York. I'm not going to ask you how angry you are at Doug Peterson. All the old listeners in the Max Kellerman Army in New York, they remember. I am here, your dear leader, to tell you how angry you are at Doug Peterson, in case you don't know. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Goodyear hotline. It's a new year, a good year. Not like the bad year hotline. That was last year. This is the Goodyear hotline. 2021. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Look, I was at Super Bowl 52, okay? I watched how Nick Foles, Doug Peterson, and the entire Eagles organization beat a Patriots team that did not punt once the entire game. And Tom Brady, who threw for over 500 yards and three TDs with zero interceptions. I was at that game. Had good seats. The culture of that Eagles team, who lost their starting quarterback, who was having an MVP season, and successfully rallied around his backup, made the Super Bowl win possible. What we witnessed last night was the polar opposite of the fabric of that Super Bowl win. And it's further proof that Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman got to go. I mean, from a Giants fan's point of view, guys, I'm big blue to the bone. From a Giants fan's point of view, I was livid. But let me tell you something. I would understand. Hold on. There's so much to get into. The fact that Peterson and Roseman are still there, they should have been out this morning, is outrageous. Let me explain why. Look, I savaged the Jets, New York, right? When they couldn't get out of their own way and get the number one overall pick. This is different. The Jets haven't really been relevant since Super Bowl III. Okay, that's the last time the Jets were actually relevant. Let's be honest. The Eagles are a vastly different franchise. But from a Giants fan's point of view, I would even understand if the Eagles were playing some team that's not a divisional rival and they have a chance to stick it to the Giants by losing and get the number one overall pick in the process, right? There's some transformational quarterback that everyone believes is going to be one of the all-time greats. And you can keep the Giants out of the playoffs by kind of tanking. I will sit there and go, you know what, Eagles, this is why I hate you, but the competitive fan in me would actually respect it, you know? This is not that. The Eagles were playing a divisional rival with the chance head-to-head to knock that team out of the playoffs. Why do you think the league flexed it to primetime? They flexed that game to primetime. It wasn't originally primetime because of the playoff implications. That's why. That's why. And they tried to lose. When you saw the injury report before the game, Miles Sanders and Fletcher Cox and all these guys, you're like, ah, okay, we get it. You're trying not to win. In your infinite wisdom, the Howie Roseman's trying to move up from 9 to 6. Howie Roseman, who hasn't drafted a Pro Bowl player, not a single Pro Bowl player, since he drafted Carson Wentz 5 years ago. Half a decade ago, he drafted a Pro Bowl player. None since then. That Howie Roseman, he needs to move from 9 to 6. Do you understand what that means? He's better off at 9 because the guy he wanted to take will go to someone else. He'll wind up with a better player. Look, Roseman and Peterson surrendered whatever remaining stature and credibility they had from that Super Bowl win by perpetrating the most ham-handed tank in NFL history. And why? For 3 spots in the draft? By the way, let's not forget the ultimate teammate, Carson Wentz, chose the morning of the last regular season game to leak, in my opinion, yet another report that he wants out of Philadelphia and his relationship with Peterson is fractured beyond repair. Boy, that's some teammate. Is that guy kidding? By the way, if not for Sam Darnold, Jets fans, who eclipsed him by 1/10 of a quarterback rating point, Wentz would be the worst starting quarterback in the league. Sam Darnold got him by 1/10 of a rating point on the Jets. But with all that, and so the optics wouldn't be impossibly obvious in a league that genuinely values competitive integrity. They did play Hurts, because what could Hurts reasonably do without Sanders and Goddard and playing their sixth and seventh tackles on the depth chart against a good Washington defensive line? And by the way, it looked like it was going to work, right? They were like rolling over. Washington's up 10-0, and they're going to get run out of their own building, just like I think it seems to me Peterson and Roseman wanted. But despite all that, Hurts and the defense played their guts out for outgoing defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz. They had other plans. Hurts puts together two drives, culminating in two rushing touchdowns, right? And a brief lead, down only three, following the Eagles' defense getting another turnover deep in Washington territory. And by the way, I'm not even going after Peterson for play calling in the red zone. Go for it. I'm with that. Don't be scared of the negative outcome. Go for the positive outcome. And if you have a negative outcome, oh, you could have tied the game. Shut up, everybody. There's plenty of time to go in that game. Go for it. Don't be soft. I'm with that. I'm not even talking about that. Although, they didn't spread out the defense to give Hurts his best option to punch in a score. They didn't once do that, right? So I'm not talking about the play calling. I mean, just the decision to go for it. Anyway, Hurts' top wideout is out. Hurts puts up a 25.4 quarterback rating. He was still too much of a threat to win that game for the Eagles. Still, they looked at him like, how's he doing? No good. Hey, give him any weapons? No, we took them all out. Kid's pretty good. Let's take him out. Well, what are we going to say? We're going to say that we want to see what we have in our third-string quarterback. But wait a minute. We used our second-round pick on this kid. This was the audition to see if we needed to draft another quarterback. Maybe we should see if in a primetime game with playoff implications, if not for the Eagles, at least for the rest of the NFC East, in a primetime game with none of his weapons available, can this kid actually get us a win? Wouldn't that tell you a lot about Jalen Hurts? Nah, they'll buy it. Trust me, at the postgame presser, I'm going to tell them. I'll tell them, I just wanted to see what Sudafed had. What's his name? Sudfield. It's unbelievable. Here's what Peterson had to say about his decision to take out Hurts with the game on the line.
Pretty simple. The plan this week was to get Nate some time, and I felt like it was the time to get him in the game.
Let me be very clear. That was the precise moment when the Eagles lost every player in the locker room. Any lingering remnant of that Super Bowl win is gone forever. Again, down only 3 points, they pull Hurts for Nate Sudfeld. If you want to know why they lost every player in the locker room, let me direct you to this. I brought it up on First Take today. Watch Jason Kelce's media availability from December 16th. Google it. Google Jason Kelce. K-E-L-C-E, right? Travis Kelce's brother, the offensive lineman for the Eagles. Media availability, December 16th. Google it. It's absolutely worth your time. He lays it out plain. This is not like basketball, he says, where one player is going to change your team. There are too many players on a football field. Too many things can happen. So it's not like, oh, LeBron James is there, let's tank. It's not that in the NFL. And to go from 9-6, it's even more absurd. Are Sega Whiteside instead of DK Metcalf? Rieger instead of Justin Jefferson? This is the same guy who took these guys. Like, he's passing up better players for worse players earlier in the draft. You think by moving up early, I told you he's better off at 9. Let someone else make that mistake and have a better player fall to him. How much confidence could you possibly have that Roseman, who also signed Wentz to the worst contract in the entire league, would actually make the right pick at 6? To be clear, 0 Pro Bowl players since Wentz, now in year 5, and is 1/10 of a point better than Sam Darnold. And that's it. Otherwise, he's dead last. Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, needs to fire these guys immediately. And by the way, I don't say that lightly. I know this is how they make their livelihood. But I have to be honest with you about what I would do if I were the owner. Because that locker room, go listen to Jason Kelce, media availability, December 16th. That locker room needs to understand that unlike his coach and GM, the owner values culture and winning. It's not just sour grapes from a Giants fan, people. Although from a Giants fan's point of view, again, I get it. I would even get it. I would hate it, but in a way I would respect it as a dastardly kind of move. If the Eagles were playing some other team, not Washington, not an NFC East team, and by losing, not only do they get to draft, say, Trevor Lawrence, but they also keep the Giants out of the playoffs, I get it. I would just say, ooh, I hate you, Eagles, but I get it. But when you're playing another NFC East team and you have a chance to play spoiler to them head-to-head and the game's on the line in the fourth quarter, and what's on the line is three draft slots up from 9 to 6? Dude, get out of here. Get all the way out of here. Ryan Clark joins me on the Goodyear Hotline right now. What's going on, Ryan?
What's up, man? How you doing, brother? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Although in 2021 didn't get off on a great foot for me watching my Giants get bounced out of the playoffs by that Doug Peterson. In your experience as a player and as an observer of the game, can you remember a coach doing something quite like this?
You know, I really can't. Not in that situation, and especially not with that explanation. To say this is a predetermined move because Nate Sudfeld had been there 4 years and he deserves some snaps, that's not how the NFL works. You don't deserve snaps because you've hung around or because you've been great on the scout team. You earn your snaps and you earn your reps because of your play, because of your production. And he hasn't done that. And so to just make this choice arbitrarily, you know, when you're only down 3 after actually going for it on fourth down when you could have kicked the field goal and had the game tied, I think Doug Peterson made a succession of questionable decisions in this game and none more questionable than that.
Talking to Ryan Clark on the Goodyear Hotline. By the way, I just gave them straight talk wireless, Ryan. No contract, no compromise right before you got on. Look, I as a Giants fan, I was disgusted. But, like, as just a fan of football, like, this is not baseball or basketball. I'm sorry. Like, Stephen A. brought up on the air, what if you were for the process with Sam Hinkie? Isn't that the same thing? And da-da-da-da-da. A full contact sport. Where guys are battling in the trenches up on the, you know, in the front seven, let's say, and on the line of scrimmage. That kind of physical battle, when there are only 16 games in a season, in a divisional rivalry, it's not like a regular season game in the NBA. I'm sorry, there is a difference. Where do you stand on tanking in football versus tanking in other sports?
You know, I don't think players have the ability to tank. I don't think they necessarily know how. Now, you can look at guys and go back to throwing games, but players aren't going to put the next draft in front of their independent contractorship. And what I mean by that is we're all playing for us, Max. Yeah. And not only playing for you in the sense that you want a career, but to not get yourself hurt, right? Like, if I'm running up tackling Derrick Henry, I don't know how to do that halfway. And so any opportunity that I get to go play, to play well, to further my career and win, That's what my main goal
is. No such thing as halfway crooks.
No such thing as halfway crooks.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got that reference. You did. You hadn't listened to War. No, it wasn't War Report. What was it? It was Only Built for Cuban Links.
War Report and Cuban Links.
Yeah, but now, but you know Mobb Deep.
Both of them because of you.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I know Mobb Deep now.
Yeah.
But you know, man. So, like, what he did was just inexcusable, bro. And it was just disrespectful to the game and to the players that legit put their lives and bodies on the line to play it each and every week.
Right, yeah. Ryan Clark on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. You know what occurs to me? There was stuff going on in the NFL, like Tom Brady's kept going to, like, forcing it to Antonio Brown because Antonio Brown had incentives in his contract. I don't like incentives in the NFL, Ryan. Like, to me, that's really a way for owners to get out of guaranteeing money to the players and retaining flexibility with payroll stuff. But in a team sport, like, Jason Kelce's right when he talks about the kind of team sport it is. And in a sport like that, to put in, like, performance incentives based on stats that guys can compile, you get funky stuff at the end of the season, like we saw. Emmanuel Sanders celebrating was nice, but, you know, guys forcing the ball to a teammate to hit an incentive, it's being a good teammate on the one hand to that one guy, but what about the rest of the team?
Yeah, you know, and that's crazy, man. This is the first year I can remember multiple instances going into the last week where you have this type of situation. And guys actually hitting him. Three shovel passes to
AB.
Antonio Brown to get him over the number. Like that's strange to me. But this is where we are in this league. And, you know, like you said, they put in incentives to get guys to a certain number or to have guys feel like this deal can be worth up to. And that's kind of where we are now. And those guys got him. But if it's not, you know, those two situations didn't seem to be at the detriment of the team. And I think that's something that you're happy for a guy he reaches. But if you're in a situation where you aren't giving a guy a ball or you are giving a guy the football too much and you lose the game or it puts you in a negative situation, I think that's more of an issue than forcing the ball to a guy late to make sure he gets his money.
Ryan Clark on the Goodyear hotline. I like Goodyear because coming off of 2020, Goodyear is a perfect sponsor for 2021. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Ryan, this is like from my Greatest Hits Volume 4, right? When Mike Tomlin got the Steelers job, it was like, oh, Mike Tomlin got the job? What? And when he got up on that podium and said, because he's taking a job that like only one guy gets every like 10 or 20 years, and he said, Steelers football, run the ball, stop the run. I'm like, oh, okay. This guy, he got me. You had me at hello. And I always bring that up when I talk about Tomlin and the Steelers. But when I'm watching Browns and alternately watching the Steelers, let alone when they play each other, especially now, it's the Browns, to me, who found that identity. Whatever you think about the efficacy of their run defense, at least that's what they concentrate on. They're gonna fight you up front on both sides of the ball, especially on the offensive line. They're going to run the ball, and they're going to stop the run. And I worry for the Steelers heading into that matchup in the playoffs, because they really can't block for the run at all. Your thoughts about your former team with whom you won a Super Bowl, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ryan Clark?
No, I think it's going to be a good game. I believe that the Cleveland Browns have more of an offensive identity than the Pittsburgh Steelers do. But on the other side of that, the Cleveland Browns need to be healthy in the secondary. No Kevin Johnson this week. And so you look at where they were, Denzel Ward, where they were with COVID and the protocols, you don't know if those guys are back. I think they're better suited than the Pittsburgh Steelers to know where they want to go with the ball. But when you look at who the Steelers are, who they were early on in the season, they were a team that stopped the run and they were a team that turned the football over. That's the only way for them to win, Max. If they don't dominate defensively, which we kind of haven't seen down the stretch. And, you know, turnovers are one of those things that kind of comes and goes sometimes with certain teams. Then this team's going to be in trouble. I do believe that the Steelers can win the first game. I don't believe that they have what it takes to make a deep run. And it's for a lot of those things you said and kind of explaining why you feel a little bit more strongly about Cleveland's identity than Pittsburgh. The other thing is, too, one of those identities is easy to carry over week to week. It's easy to make sure that you're physical. It's easy to make sure that you continue to hand the ball off. You continue to pound the football. It's hard to say we're going to throw it 50 times and it's going to work every week when the dude playing quarterback isn't named Mahomes or Rodgers. I think that's very difficult, and that's what the Pittsburgh Steelers are trying to do, and I think that's playing with fire.
Speaking of which, we didn't get to it on the air today. Maybe we'll do it later in the week on First Take, but I think Patrick Mahomes actually heading into these playoffs is the guy with the most to lose. But when I look at the AFC North, right, it's really interesting in terms of the quarterbacks. Like, you don't hear anyone taking the Browns to win the Super Bowl. And that's because Baker Mayfield's gotten much better, but he's not Josh Allen or Deshaun Watson or someone like that. Ben Roethlisberger is clearly faded. And when you look at the Ravens, that's the team where you'd be like, they could do it if Lamar can get it together in the playoffs. Where are you with the Ravens in terms of the threat out of the AFC North?
I think the threat is real. And if it's not the threat, Max, it sure is the fear, right? It's the fear of, shoot, what if they do get it right? What if Lamar continues to run the football like this? J.K. Dobbins continues to ascend, and that's kind of what we were seeing. And they had some games to get healthy. And I don't mean necessarily get people back on the field, but start to feel good again about their offense. It kind of started in that Cleveland game where we saw Lamar go back to the MVP Lamar, where he's going to use his legs, his athleticism, more than he's trying to fit into the pocket and prove things to people outside of the Baltimore Ravens organization. And I think you have to be scared of this team. Derrick Henry is the best runner in football right now. The Baltimore Ravens are the best rushing attack. And so we're going to get big on big, strong on strong in this game. And I think that the Ravens as a whole are more difficult to stop for running the football than Derrick Henry is. And so the Ravens can be very tough to beat, very tough to get out of the playoffs, and they're going to scare each and every team they play. And if they can get this first win and build some of that playoff confidence in Lamar, you have to watch out if you're the rest of the AFC.
Ryan Clark, ladies and gentlemen, you can check him out all over ESPN. Get Up, First Take, NFL Live. He's all over the place. Ryan, appreciate you coming on as always, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Always appreciate you, my guy. Yep.
Thank you, man. Lamar, boy, he needs a win in the playoffs in the worst kind of way. In the worst kind of way. Meantime, is a different former MVP set up to win another ring? By the way, Ryan Clark joined us on the Goodyear Hotline. Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
You may have the right call on, but Aaron Rodgers has the ability to say, no, I'm going to kind of hit a shot down the field. It's just demoralizing.
He should be the MVP. I thought before this week that it might go to one of the younger quarterbacks. It's got to go to Rodgers.
And with that win, the Packers, as we mentioned, lock up the number one seed.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Aaron Rodgers has a message to the haters. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Meantime, Adam Gase is finally gone, Jets fans. Who you want to replace him? I'll tell you who you want. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's Aaron Rodgers, the MVP this season. I think Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, those are the two best I've ever seen. If you force me to choose, I say Mahomes better than Rodgers at his best. However, Mahomes didn't play the last game. Not his fault. It's obvious why you sit him. But Rodgers did. Rodgers had a better statistical season than Mahomes. And Rodgers did it with less around him than Mahomes. So who wins the MVP this year? Aaron Rodgers, and he deserves it. And he's the only quarterback, honestly, I've ever seen actually where watching Mahomes now, I think, was that guy as good as Mahomes? It's very, Rodgers is incredible. This is his message to Packers doubters.
Idle chatter like that doesn't have a space in my brain. I'm not sure about everybody else. I can't speak for them, but seems to have gotten a little quiet around some of those topics that people wanted to make such a big deal about.
Well, except that people don't believe in the Packers, not because of Aaron Rodgers. People don't believe in the Packers to make excuses for Rodgers. And by excuses, I don't mean Rodgers needs them. I mean explanations as to why he only has one Super Bowl win in his career, when for most of his career, he's spent season after season clearly better than everyone else. Way better. Till Mahomes came around, no one was really close to Rodgers. So when people don't believe in the Packers, it's not if there were more players like Rodgers on the Packers, everyone would believe in the Packers. But look, the Packers drafted his replacement. They drafted his replacement at quarterback in the first round. That's rough, especially when you're coming off a 13-win season with a playoff win against Russell Wilson. You know what's wild is, I liked the Saints before the season. Then I went and I said, maybe Seattle once they dealt for Jamal Adams. Because even though they don't have a good defense, Seattle, I thought, but they have elite playmakers on defense. Bobby Wagner, Jamal Adams. These are not just, he's Pro Bowler. Though it's like, maybe that's the best guy in the world playing his position. Real difference makers. So I thought maybe Ben don't break, and then in the moment of truth, they have difference makers. With Metcalf and everyone on offense for Russell Wilson, I thought maybe. And then I said, no, then the Saints made the move for Quan Alexander, the linebacker from San Francisco, at the trade deadline, and their defense got really good. And with Drew Brees, because of the fractured ribs and the punctured lung, with a nice long rest, I thought, or at least not you know, he didn't have to play tackle football for a while. I thought maybe he'll be fresher for the playoffs. I like the Saints, but not if they have to go to the Packers. Like, the Saints really needed that bye in the first round, and especially needed to avoid a trip to Lambeau in the playoffs. So I do like the Packers to come out of the NFC now, but I got to tell you one thing. If all the favorites win in the first round, right, so just the favorites all win, do you know who the Packers host at Lambeau for their first playoff game after their bye? The Tampa Bay Bucks. And if you recall, the Packers were on a roll early in the season. And that Bucks defense at Tampa smoked Rodgers. Remember, Rodgers had like no interceptions, a million touchdowns. All of a sudden, he threw two or three picks, and they lost. They got walloped. So I still like the Packers to beat the Bucks at Lambeau. It's not like going to Tampa early in the year, and the Packers have played better recently. But that's the toughest draw the Packers could get for their first playoff game, would be Tampa. And if all the favorites win, that's exactly who they're getting. Meantime, in a very different neck of the woods, the New York Jets finished last in the AFC East at 2-14. And Adam Gase has been released by the Jets. What, I mean, from his, I've never seen a guy where when you saw the introductory press conference, you said, what? And it's not like Steve Sarkisian, who was a coordinator, obviously, at USC, he's introduced at a press conference, and he clearly, it seemed to me, was not sober for the press conference. And you thought, ooh, that's a bad way to show up, Sark. But I got to tell you, people loved Sark in L.A. You know, Trojans fans loved Sark. And so you understood, even if he was going through something at the time, and he made and from the press conference, oh, this isn't good. It's not like the idea itself was ill-conceived. Adam Gase, it wasn't like he had some special, like, love in New York, where they're like, oh, okay, he was the coordinator for, you know, Bill Parcells or something. Like, it was nothing like that. And he showed up to the press conference like that? Yo, from jump, it was like, this does not look good. And it turned out to be worse than that. So he's gone. Jets fans are like, good riddance. Who should the Jets hire to turn Sam Darnold's career around? I don't think Sam Darnold, he's super young. I think Darnold is younger than Joe Burrow. Because Darnold, and I think he is. It's close. I have to look it up. But Darnold is young still. And yes, the issue with the Jets for me is the organization is so stinking. They haven't been relevant since Super Bowl III. Think about that. Really, since Super Bowl III. Don't tell me the Chad Pennington years, please. Super Bowl III was the last time they were relevant. And New York is a Giants town through and through. One of the all-time great football franchises, the New York Football Giants. Big Blue. I'm going to digress a little bit. Oh, I love my Giants. But the Jets are not the kind of franchise where, like, there are some quarterbacks who would be independently great. Like, I look at Justin Herbert now. I love that Chargers job for any would-be head coach. You're looking at Justin Herbert, and Anthony Lynn was the second worst coach in football behind, you could say Doug Marrone, but I would say behind Adam Gase. He had Justin Herbert, and he had the handcuffs on Herbert. Justin Herbert is one of those guys, I think, independent of his situation, his floor is like Matthew Stafford if he stays healthy. That's a hell of a floor. And his ceiling is clearly much higher. And that's a hell of a player. So I think if the Jets got their hands on a guy like that, if you think Trevor Lawrence is that kind of player, then you got to take that guy. But if Trevor Lawrence isn't available, and you don't think Justin Fields is that necessarily, or you don't think Justin Fields is going to be available, then Sam Darnold is not the kind of talent where it's like, independent of his surroundings, he's going to be great. And his surroundings will just determine how great. No. Darnold needs the right guy. Who's the right guy? Who's the right guy for Darnold? Stephen A. on First Take today was suggesting Urban Meyer. But Urban Meyer, all he's done is quit. And he's super competitive, great football coach, but he's left two schools, you know, scandalized. And then he just dipped. That's what the Jets need? For a couple of years, they're going to be, and then the dude's going to dip? For that, if you're going to look, I was saying today on the air, if you're going to look at college, at the college ranks, in fact, you don't even have to leave Ohio State to find a better head coaching candidate to me for the Jets than Urban Meyer. It'd be Ryan Day. If anything, he's done better than Urban Meyer in the same place. But at least so far. But I don't think either one of those guys is the answer. To me, the answer for the New York Jets is Eric Bieniemy. Bieniemy, like, how does this work nowadays? The offensive coordinator of the most dynamic offenses is the hottest guy. That'd be Bieniemy. That's who I'd be looking to approach if I were the Jets. Who do you want, Jets fans? 888-SAY-ESPN. Meantime, do the Giants owe the Eagles a thank you card? Did I read that right, Raj? Is that the tease you just wrote for me? Do the Giants owe the Eagles a thank you card? I'm intrigued. No doubt, coming up. By the way, Joe Burrow is 6 months older than Sam Darnold.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Outkast, man. By the way, I like Outkast a lot. Although people from outside New York swear they're the greatest hip-hop group. Everyone calm down. But Outkast is good. And that song is great. Turn that up, Raj. You see what Steph did, by the way? I'm going to get into that in a second. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. No Doubt is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right, Raj.
All right,
I don't hear. Hey, where is it? Where's the track?
There it is.
There it is.
All right, check it out. Derrick Henry. You saw what he did. 2,000 yards this year. He's the most valuable non-quarterback player in the NFL.
I can't believe that's even being asked as a question. He's not in the top 100.
That's not how you play.
Nah, son.
Nah. There it is.
I'd say No Doubt or Nah, son. Hold on. Let me just huddle with myself. Max, just remember, say No Doubt or Nah, son. Let me ask you a question. Nah, son, nah. And Derrick Henry is, as of this moment, the most valuable running back because he stays healthy. Knock wood, that remains the case. He plays great when the lights are brightest, and he's a great running back. But if McCaffrey's healthy, you want him or Derrick Henry, because I want McCaffrey. If Dalvin Cook is healthy, you want him or Derrick Henry, I'll take Dalvin Cook. That's two. If Saquon Barkley is healthy, give me Saquon Barkley. That's three. If Kamara is healthy, I'll take Kamara. Because the position running back, as Casey Joyner, the football scientist, points out on this show repeatedly, is about run blocking. So if you're not catching passes at an elite level as a running back, your main value is you save a roster spot because you're the bell cow. You don't need to use multiple backs as much. That guy can't be the most valuable non-QB in football. That would be a guy like Aaron Donald, right? A defensive disruptor, someone like that. What else we got?
All right, fair enough. Hey, your New York Giants should send the Eagles a thank you card now that they have the 11th pick in the NFL draft. Y'all moved up. It's like a trade.
Nah, son. First of all, the Giants are not some great drafting team. But secondly, if the Giants were in line for Trevor Lawrence, then I would agree. They kept the Giants from winning. Good for them. And the Giants get the number one overall pick. And it just so happens in this season, that guy promises to be really special at the quarterback position. Yes, then yes. But moving up to 11, you got to be kidding me. A win is so much more valuable. You know what galls me, Raj? You know what galls me about this Giants thing?
What's that?
I'm going to get to it in the next hour. I'll get to it in a few minutes, yeah.
Okay, all right. Hey, check it out.
Has to do with Steph the playoffs Curry. Matchups, yeah.
Okay. Steph Curry's got to stay white hot for the Warriors to even have a chance at making the playoffs.
No doubt. And let me tell you something. I'm going to tell New York this now. Imagine if Tom Brady had to face the Giants in the first round of the playoffs. Because it's Tom Brady, right? And here comes that Giants defense again, because the Giants almost beat the Bucks the last time they played. Ooh, I'm so mad at Doug Peterson. Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.